episode 75.
And we need to have service dealers in the class, and we've got to have manufacturers in the class. I have to. If we're going to be talking about the industry from top to bottom and all the issues that go on, we've got to have every voice represented, the things that they wrestle with. And I think it takes the blinders off of service dealers and exposes them to the richness and diversity and size and importance of the motor vehicle aftermarket.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to On Point from Remarkable Results Radio, and a special interview from an auto care industry professional. On Point. Hello, aftermarketer, Carm Capriotto here. Welcome to episode 75, Going On Point with Brian Cruikshank, director of the University of the Aftermarket, Northwood University. Hey, if you're a new listener, you will find that Remarkable Results Radio podcasts are an audio learning lab for all members of the automotive aftermarket to best know, appreciate, and understand not only the service professional in depth, but all things aftermarket strong. This episode is brought to you by Federal Mogul Motor Parts and Garage Gurus for serious technical training and support online, on-site, and on-demand. Garage Gurus is everything you need to know. Find out more at fmgarageGurus.com. And I welcome Federal Mogul Motor Parts as a sponsor in 2016. Brian Cruikshank's 22-year aftermarket career has been spent primarily in communications, marketing, and in higher education. He served for 15 years as a journalist and editor at Babcock's Media, and in 2008, he was named director of the University of the Aftermarket at Northwood University, and there he manages university-level, aftermarket-specific continuing and executive education programs throughout the industry. See more of Brian's bio in the show notes. We had a great and fun discussion. He shares what he believes is the lifelong value that individual companies and the industry receive from their capstone program called Leadership 2.0. He provides you an understanding of the value that Leadership 2.0 can bring specifically to you. A big takeaway that you'll appreciate is the discussion on when the service professional was brought into the Leadership 2.0 mix back in 2010 and how it changed the entire dynamic and brought a very important missing element to the program. You'll also learn about Brian's thoughts on consolidation and what's on the horizon with aftermarket education. Now, here we go with Brian Cruikshank. Brian, of all the University of the Aftermarket programs, which one is nearest and dearest to your heart?
That's a great question. I absolutely have an answer to that, and it's Leadership 2.0. I'll give you a little bit of background on Leadership 2.0. Leadership 2.0 was started, you went through it in 2002,
mm-hmm.
and that was probably maybe 3 or 4 years into it. Maybe I think it started in 96.
Yeah, it could have been. Yeah.
So more than that.
Yeah.
It is, I guess I would consider it our capstone program. It's kind of our highest profile program. It's a 2-week leadership development program that's held at Northwood University. I love it for two reasons. One, it brings together everybody in the industry. A third of the class represents manufacturers. A third of the class represents distributors, and a third of the class represents the service dealer. And because of that, you can imagine the kind of conversation we have in class. It's not like you got everybody from the Alliance in a room or from NAPA in a room. You got guys from Pronto and Federated and ADN and all the major groups, plus Zone, Advance, and then all the manufacturers that supply them, and then service dealers who buy from them.
So when did you change the mix? Because I find that so fascinating. And one of my questions was going to be, tell me about the profile of a Leadership 2.0 candidate. And when you say you have a third, when I went, I didn't. We were all either jobbers or WDs. And there were a few manufacturers in there. But I love the dynamic with the installer. Wait a minute. Let me say that again. I love the dynamic with the service professional.
Yes. And I'm glad that you changed your vocabulary.
I'm going to edit that out. I'm going to edit that out.
No, you know what? You shouldn't, because I want to make a point about that. We actually make, if people say the word installer in class, we make them buy the class a round of drinks.
And I have to tell you, I don't say installer. I mean, I spent all this time of my life at the street, and and oh my God, and I know enough of them that would absolutely not force me to buy them a drink, but they would kick me in the stomach and roll me out their door.
Right, right.
I know better.
So let me just go back and answer the second part of my question, and then I'll answer, you know, about the profile of attendees.
Yeah.
The other reason I love Leadership 2.0 is because it's a 2-week program, and you can really get to know people
right.
over the course of 2 weeks. And so it really kind of creates a great level of camaraderie. And that's sort of related to the profile. So we have a third distributors, third manufacturers, third service dealers. And it really creates wonderful conversation in class. And when you have a class that's the duration of 2 weeks, people start to forget about the competitive whatever is going on in class. I mean, we get them out of their working environment. We bring them to an academic environment on Northwood University's campus. And then just because we're together for so long, people start to – you know, at the beginning, everybody's aware of who's buying from who and all the political dynamics that go on. But after a while, people really, really open up. And with respect to the profile, when I got to the University of the Aftermarket 9 years ago, I looked at the profile of people in the class and I thought we're missing, I think, part of the dialogue. And we need to have service dealers in the class, and we've got to have manufacturers in the class. I have to. If we're going to be talking about the industry from top to bottom and all the issues that go on, we've got to have every voice represented.
So the walls come down and the dialogue expands.
One of the first things I tell people day one is I understand that there are competitive things going on with all of your companies, but I would ask you to let the walls come down. You're on a university campus. This is an academic environment. We want you to be as open as you are comfortable.
Being a top technician takes a lot of hard work, and you can't do it alone. I believe you would agree. Vehicle technologies, repair procedures, and diagnostics are changing every year. That's where Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Guru Garage can help. The Garage Gurus program has been designed by and for technicians and offers the most comprehensive program of support tools in the industry. There's a nationwide network of Guru on-site training and technology centers where you can get hands-on training with the equipment and tools needed to solve real work-related challenges. And when you can't make it to on-site training, there's Gurus Online, a 24/7 online academy with a huge catalog of course options. Garage Gurus also helps where it matters most, on the job, in your shop. Their Gurus on the Go technology fleet, well, they bring the latest products and technology demos right to you. If you need a quick part lookup, the Gurus on Demand app gives you fast, easy, and accurate info. And when you need help with a technical issue, their bilingual ASE certified Gurus on Call are ready to help. And this year, they're introducing their Garage Rewards loyalty program, which gets you points towards free gear from your favorite Federal Mogul Motor Parts brands. It costs nothing to join, and you could start earning points immediately. So head on over to fmgarageguru.com, learn all about the Garage Gurus program, and start earning points today. What was the first year you included service professionals?
That would have been 5 years ago.
Okay. Give me your best takeaway, because you were probably looking for that dynamic to happen. Someone approached you and said, Brian, this was what?
Unexpectedly awesome. I think service dealers, what we do at the University of the Aftermarket is very different than anything else offered in the industry. We're the only university affiliated educational program. We don't do anything technical. We're not operational. We only do business management and leadership education at the university level, really at an MBA level. Our faculty are the same faculty that teach in the MBA program. And so I think service dealers have a certain preconceived notion of what education in the industry is. And I think we change their idea of that a lot.
It's a wow factor that many of them have never attended something like this before. And and so look at some of the service professionals over the last 5 years that you may have seen at conferences or at Apex, for example. Tell me, did you see anything blossom with them because of the course?
I think they see the industry bigger, if that makes sense. All too often,
they're part of something. They're part of something bigger. Yeah.
Part of something big and important.
Yeah,
I think one of the a comment I get a lot is, I had no idea that all of this stuff goes on to support me.
Right, right.
So they're sitting in a room. So we have, I don't know how many people were in your class, but we cap the class at 40, and we sell it out every year. And so there's service dealers talking about their issues, probably the same issues that they've talked about in their group, their program group, service dealer, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then they've got all the warehouses and all the manufacturers that are talking about the same issues and the things that they wrestle with. And I think it takes the blinders off of service dealers and exposes them to the richness and diversity and size and importance of the motor vehicle aftermarket.
Great words and great analogy. Now, your 2015-2016 class, that's rocking. You're what, halfway through it?
We are halfway through it. So I said it was a 2 week class. It's a week and then 6 months, a 6 month gap. And then we reconvene for another week. So we've already done our 1 week on Northwoods campus in Midland, Michigan. We did that in late August, and we take a 6 month break, and then we will reconvene at the end of April.
And isn't the project done in that 6 month period?
Right. So we put everyone in project teams. And here's where the diversity of voice comes in. We make sure that every team has a service dealer, a manufacturer, and a warehouse. We make sure that they're geographically spread out. And then we make sure that you know, we don't have a team loaded up with sales guys.
Mm-hmm.
So every team has a wealth of and then we make sure that not everybody has 30 years of experience. Some people have, you know, 2 or 5. Some people have 15, and then a few people will have a lot more experience. But anyway, we put people in project teams.
Yeah.
There's usually 7 or 8 teams, and then they work on some industry issue over the six month gap, and then they present their findings in the form of a 20-minute presentation to the class when we reconvene in the spring.
Do they still have a chance to pick their subject?
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's funny you bring that up. It's actually kind of a hilarious, from my perspective, a hilarious way that we do it. It's fun to watch. No two teams can have the same topic. So how do you come up with two teams not having the same topic? Well, we could assign them. But if we assign them, then I think that we're sort of limiting what people talk about. Then you would end up with the same topics every time. So we put everybody in their project teams and we say, okay, you've got to come up with your project topic right now. Go. And they get together and they have to come up with their project topic as soon as possible, because if some other team comes up with the same topic, it's off the table. So if somebody comes up with a technician training, for example, well, that's gone.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's really kind of a fun, frenetic way to come up with a project topic.
Well, as an aside, I absolutely learned so much and had a blast during the 6 month lag time that you had to get together and work on a project and then prepare to present. And it was very rewarding. I won't forget those times. And in fact, I met people at Apex this year that I went through the class with, recently had coffee with one of my fellow team members, and lifelong friendships that come out of this.
Absolutely. Lifelong friendships. And it's funny, the dynamic day one, week one. I always tell the class this during our opening dinner, to kind of look around the room. These people who you don't know will become your closest confidants as you go through your career. And then I reference that on the last night of the second week, and everybody's, you know, singing songs and got their arms around each other and
kumbaya time.
Kumbaya. It's a lot of fun. And then you go to Apex and you see all these people that you wouldn't have known otherwise. And you have like this great rapport.
What would you say if I told you there's a new brake pad on the market that can stop a pickup SUV or CUV up to 50 feet sooner than other leading pads, and it lasts up to twice as long as the previous designs? You'd probably tell me, prove it, right? Well, that's exactly what Wagner Brake is doing with their new Wagner OEX brake pads. In independent third-party testing, Wagner OEX brake pads stopped up to 50 feet sooner than other leading brake pads. Yeah, you heard that right, up to 50 feet. The testing was performed by Link Engineering, and they're pretty much the industry standard when it comes to brake performance testing, so it's reliable proof. But Wagner, they didn't stop there. They asked 400 top technicians to put Wagner OEX pads to the test, where it matters most, in their shops and on their customers' vehicles. 99% said they saw a noticeable difference in the new brakes, and 95% said they'd likely recommend them to other professionals and their customers. Now, you can get Wagner OEX brake pads in your shop. They'll be available soon nationwide with coverage for 95% of U.S. pickups, SUVs, and CUVs. To check coverage and learn about some of the science that went into creating Wagner OEX, check out WagnerBrake.com. Okay, so besides your first love, Leadership 2.0, you are obviously the accreditation arm in our industry for AAP and MAAP.
Right.
How many a year are earning those degrees, and what do you do about making sure that your students go through this and you're building an accreditation base?
So we've been doing the AAP and MAAP, the proper term is a designation. It's an academic designation.
Okay.
That's Northwood makes me say that. We've been doing it since Wake Carm. You've been in the industry longer than I have. How long has that been going on? At least 20 years.
I think so. At least.
Yeah. So it's Automotive Aftermarket Professional. That's AAP. And yep. MAAP is Master Automotive Aftermarket Professional. When you go through accredited programs, either through the University of the Aftermarket or through some accredited organization in the industry, you gain credits. And if mm-hmm. you gain enough credits, then you're granted this designation. We graduate this past Apex was very typical. We had 22 in our graduating class, and that's pretty typical. Usually it's 2/3 AAP and there's just a handful of MAAPs.
Got it.
Only because it takes so much longer to do it.
Where's the university course curriculum content come from?
There is no – you mean for the AAP or MAAP?
No, for Leadership 2.0, for example. Is it all coming from Northwood?
Yeah, right. Yeah. So the University of the Aftermarket was started by the major trade associations decades ago. And I believe it's still officially owned by Auto Care Association and MEMA. But it lives at Northwood University. And so because it lives at Northwood University, it can lean on all of the academic resources that Northwood has, and so that would include not only our facilities but our academic expertise as well, so faculty, curriculum experts, those kinds of things. So I rely on those people to help build these classes.
So I see on the website you have a program called Distance Learning. What is it and how does it work?
So there's two parts to distance learning. We do webinars, and they're short 30-minute bites on different industry topics. But then you can also take actual Northwood University semester-long online classes. And if you don't get a grade, but you do have to complete – you don't have to take the tests either, but you do have to complete all the requirements. Like if there's a paper or a project or whatever.
All right.
And then you get credits toward your AAP or MAAP once you complete those classes. And those are actual university classes taught by Northwood faculty, and they're a full semester long.
Is that what you call demand learning?
So the on-demand learning are the webinars.
Okay, that's the webinars. Okay, and you earn CEUs toward your
AAP or MAAP. Yes,
your academic designation.
That's
what it officially would be called. I think you corrected me just a minute ago.
Yes, your designation.
An academic designation. Wow, great. Brian, if you didn't need money, what would you be doing in life?
I would be a photographer. And I do quite a bit of photography. And
yeah, I saw that about you.
Oh,
yeah, I studied. I may have even bought one of your pictures one day. Who knows?
Yeah, good. Then I'll get a royalty. I don't know if you want me to talk about that a little bit. But,
why not?
So I started traveling when I was a young man and decided at some point to bring a camera with me. And over the years, I became self-taught. And now I'm at the point where I have an agency that represents me. And I'm fortunate enough to have been published in places like Time Magazine and places like that. So if I didn't need money, I would do that. The joke is, what's the difference between a professional photographer and a large pizza? A large pizza can feed a family of four. So at least the way things currently stand, I need my full-time gig.
Get it. Okay. Hey, did you enjoy your career in media? And was it a great proving ground for being the director of University of the Aftermarket?
I loved it. And frankly, had my wife and I decided not to make a geographic change, I probably would have stayed in the media and at Babcock's Media specifically, probably for the rest of my career. It is a terrific company. It's run by terrific people. And I really enjoyed my time. I am not an academic. I don't have a background in teaching. What Northwood wanted was somebody who saw the industry from 30,000 feet and knew a lot of people, and that's what you get in the media.
Right.
As a 23-year-old guy, I was having David O'Reilly return my calls. I mean, that, you know, what a great proving ground for, you know, this kind of thing.
And you came in green, yes?
Oh my God. I didn't know a camshaft from a headlamp.
I read you for years in Counterman magazine, and you were very humble. You explained that, you know, you needed people to help you understand what the heck it was you were doing.
Yeah. But then it's funny. And then at some point you become the expert. I don't know how that happens. I guess just over time, you learn this stuff.
What's on the horizon for the University of the Aftermarket?
There is so much going on in the industry, and I think that it's our responsibility to continue to take the blinders off people and help them see the industry, not where it is today, but where it's headed. It's headed, I think, in some uncomfortable directions for people. And I think it's our responsibility to help them come to grips with that and plan their career and their companies to deal with it.
So what is that future going to look like, that uncomfortable future going to look like?
I think consolidation is going to continue to impact the industry, particularly on the distribution side. I don't think we've seen the end of consolidation among independently owned jobbers. Consolidation among warehouses will continue. We're essentially down to two traditional program groups at this point, three, ADN, the group, and the Alliance. I think that puts manufacturers in a very, very uncomfortable position. Every time there's one of these major group consolidations, groups have to make decisions about what brands they're going to carry, and oftentimes one major brand is gonna lose out. In my view, this is what has driven manufacturer consolidation.
Do you think that's going to continue?
I think if one happens, the other must necessarily happen. If distribution consolidation continues, manufacturer consolidation necessarily must continue. You know, we are in an era of 400 days of terms from the major retailers. This is putting tremendous cash flow pressures on manufacturers, and I think they see that with economies of scale, they might be able to gain some of that control and power back.
Do you think that bubble will ever burst?
There's always something next, right? So when the retailers, I can't even say that they're going to finish their consolidation, because the demands of Wall Street and the 90-day sprint is just puts so much pressure on them. But then what happens after that? How does Rock Auto and eBay Motors and Amazon and maybe someone that we haven't even heard of yet factor into this? So I don't think any of this is ever going to – I don't think we could ever stand up and say, okay, everything is set and it's going to be like this for the foreseeable future. I think we're constantly in a state of change.
Well, thanks for your ideas on the industry and what you see in the future. Is there anything going on that's new and exciting on the education front?
You know, yeah, and it's sort of everything old is new again.
What do you mean?
Well, universities have been quick to embrace online education, and I think they necessarily must. We at the University of the Aftermarket did the same thing. You mentioned our distance education, and I think that has a place. But you also asked me which was my favorite program that we do.
Yeah.
And it's the live program where I get to spend time with participants and colleagues and develop friendships and relationships and talk face to face about issues that impact our businesses. That has been how education has been done forever. And I'm seeing a kind of a return to that.
A trend, a change.
The programs that I'm getting asked to develop for companies are not online programs. They're face to face programs. Because I think people know the value of that.
Well, that's refreshing to hear, because there has been so much apathy that I've heard in so many years that, you mean I got to send somebody for 2 hours or an overnight to take an 8-hour class? And I'm just excited to hear that, because I think workshopping, I think the camaraderie amongst people, I think networking, I think emotions, I think words, pronunciations, eye contact, facial, you know, animation. I mean, the adults need so much to have that knowledge transfer.
Absolutely.
And I think you bring up a great point. It's exciting. Glad to hear that. Brian, what's your legacy going to be?
Oh, my God. I'm only 46 years old. Why are you asking me about my legacy?
Well, because you got about 20-some plus years in the industry, and you may be charting your course.
What I love about the University of the Aftermarket and my role here is I see how I make an impact on people's lives and their businesses. And I think that's my what I want my legacy to be. I sit in a room and I conduct I kind of run these roundtables every morning, and I love to do it, and I love to see the light bulbs go off in people's heads. And I think it's making a difference in people's lives. That's what's important to me.
Excellent. What have I failed to ask you that you really want to talk about?
What are you doing?
Oh, we need a whole 4-hour podcast for that.
You and I met a long time ago in Chautauqua, New York.
I bailed you out.
At a Bill Baker run New York State Wholesale Association event. And, you know, you were at Modi for all those years, and the Buzzards are great friends of mine. And yep. Was happy to see you at Apex. So what are you doing?
I'm podcasting, baby. And I am.
You see how the journalist in me comes out?
I am. Yeah. I mean, you turned to be the inquisitor, didn't you?
It's a comfortable position for me.
Wait a minute, Brian. I think it's my show here. Oh, what's going on?
Sorry.
And I have the power of the editor here.
That's true.
Cut that out. No. Well, I'm just thrilled to have had you hang out with us for a little while. But I have one more question. Any special words that you live by every day that you'd love to share?
It's a quote by the poet Anais Nin. Life shrinks or expands in proportion to one's courage. And I believe that to be really true.
Wow. Pretty powerful words.
Yeah.
Brian Cruikshank, MAAP, and the director of the University of the Aftermarket at Northwood University. Brian, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Carmen.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.